Hey, you're listening to the Intentional Mind Podcast. I'm Angela Barnard, and I'm so excited about this episode because I think it really helps us that want to intentionally design our lives, that want to do work that's meaningful to us, make sure that our habits are in line with our vision. If that's you, then this episode, I really believe, is for you. A lot of us crave more financial freedom, and we don't know how to go about getting that financial freedom because what we really want is to spend more time doing the things that are important to us. We want to spend more time with the people that we love, but we know that finances can also play a role in that. So if you're exploring different ways that you can bring in some more financial freedom for yourself, listen up. So we're just going to get right to it. I'm going to introduce you to the person that is a special guest on the show today. Jeannie Sullivan believes that we all have a zone of genius that can be monetized and that the path to financial freedom is made up of multiple revenue streams. She helps people uncover their unique abilities, bust through some myths about entrepreneurship, and actually design courses that make them money, teaching what they already know and love. She is also the author of the book, Create a Course in 28 Days. I brought Jeannie on because I know so many of you want more financial freedom and you want to get paid to do work you love. So if that's you, listen up because you're in for a real treat. Now, Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Angela, for having me. I'm so excited to dive in today.
I am so excited that you are here. I can see when I'm talking to you just how excited you are about what you're teaching. And I'm like, that's the kind of people need to come on the show. So for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about you just in general, where you're from, maybe some other titles that you might hold, like mom or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, and I've spent my entire life outside of traveling in Mississippi and South Carolina. So lots of time in the southern states. And I am mom, so that is a title that I hold. I've got a 21-year-old entrepreneur who is starting his own business right now. So that's a lot of fun. And I have an 18-year-old who's at Winthrop University studying musical theater. So you can see just in the paths that my kids take, I'm like, do what you love is your plan A, not your plan B. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have to just go for it.
Yeah, I think so many of us don't listen to what's on our heart, or we don't follow the things that we're excited about. And that stuff continues to stay there, like in the heart, you know? And then we later find ourselves in these roles where maybe we don't really like them. And then we think like, I want to do something that's meaningful to me, or I want to create more freedom. And you've been able to do that work that's meaningful to you, to create more freedom in your life. So what has your journey been like? Like, what led you to where you are now?
I grew up sort of in corporate America, left corporate America in 2010 to start my own business. Single mom, you know, supporting two kids, the only earner in my household, and all of my friends and family, very well-meaning, were like, Jeannie, what have you done? Is it too late? Like, rush back and get your job back. but there was just something inside of me that knew it. I was following my gut, and I had this knowing that this was the path that was right for me. And though I've doubted it again and again over the years and tried to reenter the employment world, when things didn't seem like they were going well in my business, only to come back to my business again and again.
I laugh because I can so relate to that and how many times I've done that. It's so easy to want to give up or start to feel like maybe this isn't it for me. And I don't know, I know that I feel like my heart beat a little bit faster when I heard you say that, because I'm like, yep, that was my story too. But here I am again, back in my business, even though I go back and forth, but I feel different this time, especially because what we're going to talk about today, the courses and the way that, I guess, all the opportunity that has opened up, like that wasn't here, I think, in the past, you know, around how all of us can get paid to teach what we love. I'm so excited for you to talk more about that.
I really feel like this time that we're in right now, the past 10 years has been prepping us for what is happening right now in the world of entrepreneurship. So what I mean is that we've slowly been building this web of communicating, of expressing ourselves, of monetizing our genius through blogs, you know, on YouTube and all these different ways. And now it's just, it's fascinating to me. So just yesterday I was doing some research. I'm looking for like a new integrative health doctor. And as I'm pulling up all these different websites, like almost every site that I pull up, they have a course available so that you can like see what they're all about and have like a taster of what it is that they've got going on before you actually commit to the program. And that just made my heart jump. I was like, this is great. I mean, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have had a medical practice with an online course where everyone could access and get a little taste of like what it is that they're all about and experience some change right off the bat.
Yeah, that's what I love about online courses is that really any profession could benefit from creating a course, and it can help people want to invest in more of whatever it is that you're offering because you give them a quick win. So they start to trust you more. They get a taste of like how you do things. They feel like they have that connection with you because they're not only hearing you, but they're seeing you. And yeah, you can learn from them anywhere. And I'm sold on the online course thing. I love learning from courses. I love the connection, the community that I've experienced from being a part of courses. And I'm really curious to know your story of how you got involved in being someone that teaches people how to create courses. I know from reading your book that it has to do with when you were in your coach training, but can you tell us like really what led to you being the person that teaches other people how to create courses?
So what happened is I had these aspiring coaches who were in my classes, in class with me, time and time again. And they were asking like, what can I do? How can I build a workshop? How can I build a taster program, an introductory program, a group program? And with my background in corporate learning and development, I just kept thinking inside my head. I was like, wow, I think I could really help people figure this out. But I didn't even have my own business then. That was like 2 years before I started my own business. And so I just toss this idea out there like, hey, if there are any aspiring coaches who want some help creating a program, I'm going to teach a class. And so I taught a 4-week class called Create a Coaching Workshop in 4 weeks and helped probably 25 of my fellow classmates launch their workshops and their programs through that program. And so that was when I first got the first taste of like, whoa, I just had an idea, created something, offered it online to people I don't know, and I made a couple of $100s, and that felt empowered.
Yeah, and I love that you said in 4 weeks, because when I was reading your book, Create a Course in 28 Days, I know that that kind of, it sparked in, well, I guess the book is based off of that first class, right? And the content even, I'm sure it's developed more since, you know, back then. But I just thought that was so cool that in 28 days, in 4 weeks, you could have a course developed that you could get paid to teach. And you can even be bringing in passive income. Sometimes you don't even have to be live, right, teaching that course. So I just think it's so cool how it just shows how quickly your life can change. You know?
Yes. Yes. It, you know, we think life changes slowly over time, but I was just thinking about this yesterday. It doesn't. It changes in an instant. It changes the moment that you choose that you want something different in your life. It changes the moment that you meet someone and you make a connection for the first time, and that opens up all kinds of possibilities. You know, it changes when you recognize that you have something worthy of sharing with others inside of you that you could begin to charge a price for, whatever that price is. You know, I'm not a big fan of free for reasons that I talk about in the course, but I think that doing it even for like $10 or $25, that first course that I taught, I charged $25 for people to sign up for my course. And that felt right for me at the time. And at the end of that time period, when I had, you know, I don't even know how much. I think it was $350 or $400, but that was huge for me at that point in time to think that like I earned that money simply off of sharing what I've learned.
I love that. So basically what you're saying is if you have learned something, there could be a way that you could monetize what you have learned by simply teaching someone else what you have learned, because someone else may be seeking that wisdom too. Now, for those that are listening that might be like, not me though, like I have no idea what I would even teach. I'm not really even sure what I've learned that would be helpful exactly to people, and would they even pay for it? Yeah, I'm not sure what I would even teach. What would you say to them?
So that is a very, very common thought that people have. They're like, "What? I don't have anything to teach." And what happens is that's also how we feel about our strengths, right? So when I work with people through StrengthsFinder and they're discovering their strengths for the first time, they're like, "Whoa, that's a strength. Positivity is a strength. That's just how I am. You know, it's not a strength." And so what I share with people is, you know, think about what are you totally obsessed with and you can't quit researching, and like you just keep going online and you're doing more and more research and you're learning about it, and people, you know, you run into people throughout your day and you're dropping out little tips and tidbits about something. So what are you fascinated by? What are you obsessed with? What can you like not get enough of? And then I think the second question to ask yourself is, what do people come to you for help with? So are you the person that always gets the final draft for the edit before somebody publishes something? You know, are you the person who's always on a group Zoom call telling people like, here's where you push that button in order to, you know, change the audio settings? If so, then maybe you could teach a class helping people just like become confident using Zoom in a group setting. So there's all kinds of things. And I think that a lot of times, we can also just look to your environment. What is it that inspires you? What gets you super excited to teach a course on that topic? What is that topic that even though you're nervous and you don't know how to do it, you're so excited to teach on that topic that you're willing to make a mistake if it ends up being a mistake?
So basically what you're saying is that everyone pretty much has something that they get excited about. If you really think about it, that we like geek out about and like, and that we would love to talk about, that you're already talking about, then there's clues in that, that you probably could design a course around that. So really I see it as like course design could really be for anybody, because we all are gifted in some way and have something we can teach others.
Exactly. Yes. Absolutely. Right now at this very moment, I am in the midst of planting seeds for my second ever cut flower garden. If someone had a course on like how to create a cut flower garden, I would absolutely take that course, or even just how to germinate seeds in 7 days. Like I want to take that course. If somebody had a course that was like how to make your office feel like a creative haven, like, I want to take that course too.
Oh, yeah. I know. There's so many courses that I want to take. And it's like, there's like, I can't be the person to teach all these things because one, I'm not an expert in all the things. But it's so interesting because my husband, Ian, and I were just in Mexico and we ran into this lovely couple, and they were really into renovating homes and all of this stuff. And I was like, you guys should create a course. And they're making all this passive income from it. And they're younger and, you know, like in their early 20s or something. I'm like, dang, like, you know, there, I know there's people already out doing this, which I want to talk about. So we'll come back to that. But I'm like, man, at your age, there's so many people that would appeal to you. Like they'd be like, I want to learn from them. We have a similar age, you know, or we have these other things in common. And I was like, you guys should totally create a course. And they're talking about how they were YouTube looking for how to do some kinds of stairs or something like that. And they couldn't find any information. They said they were so frustrated about it. I was like, that's evidence that now that you guys have done the thing, you figured it out. I guarantee you there's other people just like you wanting someone out there to teach them how to do those stairs. You know, like there's so many things that people are seeking information on. And if you have mastered something, I just feel like, I personally feel like we kind of owe it to, I think, the world. And I think like God, that like, hey, I'm going to share my gifts. I'm going to give them away. Like, that's how I see it.
Yes, 100%. So one of my clients, Jessica, she's an amazing wedding planner here in Colombia. And she came to me years and years ago when she she had her own business, but she wanted to support her maternity leave. And she was like, Jeannie, I don't know what to do. Like, is there some passive revenue? How do I do this? How do I structure this? And we ended up building a course for her, and she built the course that she wishes she would have had when she first started her wedding planning business. And she went back through her emails, and she had over 1,000 people who over the last 8 years had said, can I get coffee? Can I pick your brain? Can I tell me more about how to do your business? And so she built her course. She reached out to those people who were already just in her inbox, right? And said, hey, I heard you. I launched this course. It's the course I wish I would have had when I started my business 10 years ago. And she paid for her maternity leave.
See, that's amazing. It's like there's already evidence out there of the courses that we should be creating. If you think about the things that people are always asking us, the things we like to do, there is evidence, like hands down. What about some other people that you've worked with? What other kinds of courses have people created?
Oh, all kinds of courses. And this is one of the reasons why I love my work, because when I work with someone to create a course, I get to learn about that thing. And I love learning even more than creating courses, you know? And so this past year, I have helped people create a course on how to be influential on LinkedIn. We've worked on a human design course, which is completely fascinating. I've also helped coaches create classes on intuition, coaching certification programs. We did a mindfulness program this year. I'm also working with a nonprofit organization to create some courses on self-care strategies. And so there's really, I don't think there's any topic that is off limits. And I don't believe that there's any topic that you cannot teach online. When Christina came to me years and years ago, she was in the coaching program with me way back when, and she showed up to my class and she's like, hi, I'm Christina. I am going to build a course on igniting your intuition. And immediately I thought, oh, wow, how are we going to do that in an online format? But we figured it out. If you can learn how to use your intuition online, I feel like you can learn anything online.
Yeah, hands down. Now, what are some other myths that people might have about entrepreneurship, especially if you're like already in a 9-to-5 and you're thinking like, well, a 9-to-5 consumes my life. So how can I also be an entrepreneur? Any myths around that?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's a myth, but I have come up with a little bit of a framework that I offer to people to sort of help them. It's called the bridge to solopreneurship, the bridge out of corporate life, if people are looking for that, right? So some people might just be looking for some side hustle money because they want to supplement their 9-to-5 teaching something that they love, which is totally great. And there's no aspiration of, you know, leaving their corporate 9-to-5. I think what happens is, just like me, when I got that little taste of like, I just made $350 by teaching people what I know how to do. And it was fun. And I loved it. Within 2 years, I had this little spark inside of me that said, I think I can do this on my own. So I think there is just like this little spark that's turned on when we begin to earn money, like from our own zone of genius. And so what happens is, so if you are in a corporate role or in a full-time 9-to-5, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, I wonder what it would be like to start my own business, but I feel like I have no idea how you get from here to there. I've come up with this philosophy that I have that's called the bridge to solopreneurship. And what it means is that, so imagine that you're, I mean, it's not difficult. You're on one side and you need to cross the bridge and get to the other. Well, a lot of times people don't just jump. There are some people who do, and there are some people who say, oh, well, just jump and then you'll figure it out, you know, sink or swim. I think depending on your risk threshold and like the people in your family that need to be supported through that transition, it can be difficult. And so what you need to do is build that bridge. And I think that creating courses and having course revenue can be part of the bridge. It's like you start building it on one side.
Yeah.
And then you know where you're going on the other side. But the thing is that what is on the other side, this solopreneurship or entrepreneurship, feels so foreign when you've been in a 9-to-5. for a long time. It feels scary. And all of that is real. It is so real. And I don't want to discount it. And so what happens is creating a course or doing some kind of moonlighting or just beginning to generate revenue on the side is like what sparks that little confidence inside of you that then it's like it starts to snowball. And so for a little while, you're going to need to do your 9-to-5 and some other things. But then once you build enough of those other things, is once you have enough of that revenue mix going for you, making that transition usually happens very fast on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you said initially that there might be some people that have like no aspiration to be like a full-time course creator or anything like that. But I can tell you, and I know from your experience and my own personal experience, once you get a taste of that freedom and the doing the work that you really love, it's like you want more of it. And I love your path to like your concept of making the bridge, because I have been one of the ones that did the jump. I jumped back. Like, so because it's really scary, you know, that you learn along the way, but you also need to build a foundation so that you have this consistent income coming in. And I think like back then, I wish somebody was teaching me how to make the bridge, you know, where it would feel better as I'm like working on my thing. I start to build my confidence because I can see that I can get paid teaching what I love. That's like the first step, is like once that confidence gets built, it's like it picks up from there, the momentum.
Yes. It's almost like, for me, this is how it was. When I was in my 9-to-5, I literally could not imagine what my life would be like. I couldn't imagine how would I make money? Like, how is it going to work? It was like a foreign language. Do you know what I mean? So, and for me, you know, being a single parent with two kids, like just making the jump without a plan, that wasn't really a reality. That wasn't something that wasn't a risk I was willing to take. And so, you know, it started with creating that first course. And then I offered a few more courses. And then I thought, oh, what is this side hustle world? I want to learn more about it. And then even when I left my 9-to-5, I still had a contract in place, right? Doing contract work that was similar to the instructional design work.
Yeah, that's my life now, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of people ask me about, you know, how have you been able to create this freedom where you can travel and do all these things? And I have a source of consistent income from the contracting work that I do. So that allowed me to leave a 9-to-5. So I know I'm getting consistent income in while I'm creating my other stuff on the side as well with the courses and all of that. And I was just like you, where initially when I was in my 9-to-5, I couldn't imagine what that would be like, because I mean, no one had brought it into my awareness. So what I hope today is that we're bringing it into people's awareness that are listening, that if you desire to do work that you love and you're not doing that already, and you desire the freedom, it is totally possible. And you're hearing it from two girls who worked in 9-to-5, who started to take those steps out. And then, you know, who sought wisdom from other people along the way. And I feel like you, Jeannie, are like a personal mentor to me. I absolutely love your book. On the side, like always talking about all your stuff, because I just love your passion. And I feel like you've paved a way even for me. So thank you. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love watching your path unfold. It's amazing. It's an honor.
Well, I'm excited for my courses to be created. And I say courses, plural, because I'm one of the ones that once you get an idea of like a course, I don't know if this happens with other people. You have to tell me, Jeannie, like if you get an idea for a course, are people like, oh, and I want to create a course on this too. And this is like, does it start to become like blow up from there? I don't know. How is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. And once you realize, especially if you are an idea person, right? I'm a person who just walks out into the world, and I'm super curious too. I love learning. I love to learn about things. And so once you get that idea, it's almost like there's no stopping it, right? You're unstoppable. You can create as many courses as you want to. And I wonder one day if the way that we create books right now, so books are like courses, but without the interaction and the multimedia, right? Haven't you ever read a book and you've just felt change? Like you learned something, like you've got it now.
Oh my gosh, yes. I was just saying that recently. Like, one of my goals this year is, I always talk about identity-based goals, and my identity-based goal is I am an avid reader. And I've just been reading galore, and I'm learning so much from these books. I feel like I'm taking a gazillion courses, and they're even like set up that way. And I find myself too craving like the video version of it, where I can see the person and all the things and have the worksheets. And I just, I see where you're going with this. And I feel like it's fun, because now I'm seeing myself, as I'm thinking about my course, I'm also writing it out in a book way. And I almost feel like I can kind of be doing both of the things at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And so I think that we're going to see a blending together of the book world with the course creation world. And right now they're kind of separate. And a lot of people think like, oh, well, I got to write my book first and then I'll build a course, or, oh, let me do a course first and then I'll write a book. But I say that because, you know, I think people do sometimes still ask themselves, like, does the world need one more leadership book? But really, ultimately, what we've learned is that when you have a message to share and you share it in your own unique way, it's going to resonate with people differently and different people than the book right beside it, right? So we don't go to the library and go like, oh, we have enough books in the world. And so I think that a lot of times people now are thinking like, oh, well, there's already a course on that. Like, there's already a course on LinkedIn.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is one of the most common things I hear, is that somebody else is already doing it. And like, I think that's one of the myths, is that you can't do it because somebody else already is doing it. And no one else is doing it in the way that you can do it, with your own unique experiences and how you're showing up. And like, even me, a lot of the stuff that I teach is based on things that I've learned from my mentors around like the power of your mind and crafting a vision and developing habits, all that stuff. It's not new stuff. But people want to hear it from me in the way that I share it with my own experiences. And they may never hear it from Dr. Joe Dispenza or whoever, you know? And the other thing that you said earlier around the course, the online course world kind of blending with books, I've been seeing that more and more now that you're saying that, because John Acuff, who wrote Finish, is one of my favorite authors. I think he's hilarious. I love his wisdom. Well, he after his book created a course called Finish, and it basically goes through the concepts in his book, and he did it after the fact. But now he has a new book launching called Soundtracks. And he just was doing this, you know, pre-launch kind of thing where he was going through some things in the book. And then at the end of it, because I was wondering, I'm like, what is the offering going to be? Because he's going to have something to offer us. And at the end of it, he offered the Soundtracks course. And I was like, wow, it's really heading that direction. And it got me super excited, because I know that if you're listening and you're like, ooh, maybe I want to create a course, I know a lot of my listeners also want to write a book. So it's like, see where you could kind of blend both of these things based on something you know, you could talk about something that you already love, that you're already teaching probably in some way, you know?
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I'm sort of having just a new idea about it. And so if you're sort of stuck in that, is it a book? Is it a course? What is it?
Yes.
Because you can kind of get, I don't know, sometimes I can get stuck in that place of trying to figure it out, like, and make the whole plan.
Or like, which one to do first. And there's so many things. And that's the thing that gets hard about entrepreneurship when you're stepping out. There's so many things that you're supposed to create according to everybody else, you know, you get overwhelmed by all the different things. So I'm curious, what is your wisdom on that?
So what I'm thinking is, so in the book, Create a Course in 28 Days, there's a process that I take people through where you identify what is your signature process. Mm-hmm. So what is the thing that you want to help people do differently? And so I would focus on what is your framework? What is your genius? What is the thing you want to share with people? And really get clear on mapping that out. And then ask yourself, where is the best place where I can most quickly test this out with people and make sure that it works, make sure that the transformation happens, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a synthesis that is going to happen from when it's an idea in your brain right? To people actually creating and making these changes in their life based on what you're sharing with them. And so it, even as I'm talking, I'm saying, I don't think that going the book route first is a bad move necessarily, but I do think that going the course route first might allow you more space to be able to experiment and change.
Yeah, and test things out and kind of make it better and all of that. Because I even think about what I initially had thought about what I wanted to create as a course once I started testing things out. I even found in myself, like, what were the things that I was more excited about? And then even when I started creating one of the things, I'm like, oh, well, wait, that doesn't actually get them to the full result that I want them to get to. But I don't, that only came from learning. And I feel like I'm, or from doing it and then learning from the process. And I feel like I'm constantly learning. So, but I feel like if you, you have to start kind of with something you want to test out. So you start with this framework and then you kind of get out there and start to test it out. And then again, you start to build that confidence, which really serves you, and you get to create a better course.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I focus people in on 4 weeks, 28 days. Like, let's get this done and out there and have people using it. Because one of the things that happens in a group program that I teach is that we have this time at the end of the program where everybody teaches like a lesson from their course to the rest of the people who are in the course. And it's always amazing. Fun. It's so amazing
that
to
gets me
see.
Excited. Yeah.
Because people go, oh, wow, I didn't even, like, this woman who is building a course on human design, like, well, so nobody else in the class even knew what it was, and they didn't even know that they would be interested.
Yeah. With my having coffee, someone mentioned that, and I was like, what? And then I looked it up, and I was like, what is this? This is really interesting.
Yes. And so, but what happened was, you know, for Rosie, she was like, I don't know, does anybody really want to learn about human design? You know, am I actually going to be helping people? Because more, just as often as people come to me and say, I want to make money, they come to me and say, I want to help people.
Yeah.
Right. And so that is where the big confidence needs to have an opportunity to really show itself, is that what you are creating is actually helping people, and what you're creating is actually worthwhile, and people are going to pay for it. And it is worthy of, you know, an investment. And so it's when those two things come together that I feel like you've really gotten into that monetization of your zone of genius.
Definitely. And I feel like it kind of relates to the quote, you know, your gifts will make you prosperous. I really do believe that, but I feel like I know people that are listening are motivated by, like, I want to do work that's meaningful to me. And to me, that means I'm making a difference in someone's life. And we're saying, and you can get paid to do that.
Yes, I love to think of it like this is how it just resonates in my mind, is I want to make a difference along with a dollar.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do both at the same time.
Yes. Okay, so we talked already about a little bit, like, how do you figure out what it is that you want to teach? Do you have any more tips on that? I know that you look at the things that you enjoy, what you're already talking about, whether people are going to you for. Is there anything else?
Yes. So keep this in mind. Continue to think of this as like you are building your first course, not you're building the course, right? Because sometimes you can, if you have like something, if you've already identified and you know, like, here's my zone of genius and I'm still honing it and it's very special and important to me, that might not be the thing you want to play with for the first time out the gate, right? Mm-hmm. And so you could pick something that is a little less, what I want to say, precious to build your course with for the first time out, right? So every course does not have to be your unique zone of genius, right? It could just be something that you're passionate about, that's fun for you, that people always ask you to help them with. So I say that just because sometimes it's hard to learn a new process, like the process of creating a course, and practice on your very, very precious jewel. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. This is the first of many courses, and it doesn't have to be the perfect course or the best course or the one that, you know, make six figures. It doesn't have to be. It can just be the first course.
I love that you say that. It's like you can start off small. teaching something that is not as complicated. And I feel like you saying that, I feel like that's what I needed to hear, because I get wrapped up in like, well, I could teach this, this, and this, and then this thing leads to this thing and that, and I just have all these ideas. But I feel like what has been getting shown to me, and it's a confirmation based on what you're saying, is like, start with like the first little chunk of something, the one thing that where you feel like you can help someone feel like they accomplished something, and they got a win from it. But it doesn't need to be your grand old big thing, because those can come later. And in fact, they can even lead into like the next course could be the next step after the first one, in a sense.
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of times people actually build their either middle range product or their highest level product first. And mm-hmm. I think that that can be difficult, because what you're building there is going to be more complex. It's going to be higher stakes. You're going to be asking for a bigger investment, which means yeah. you need to have a greater level of confidence. And so I always say, here are my three questions that I ask all the time, which are, how can this be simpler? How can this be more me? And how can this be more fun? And so I think as you're honing yes. through and you're working through like, oh, what's my course going to be? What's it going to be about? What's that transformation target? If people will really look at those three questions and get your first course down to what I like to call like the smallest meaningful course that you can build, meaning like you want to create something that does offer meaningful change or lasting change for people, mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to change their whole life. You know, they're just looking for that opportunity to get to know you, who you are, to learn from you, to make this small change in their lives. And then from there, they can say, oh, look, Angela's someone I want to continue to learn from, or, hey, this was great. And I think that what I need is over here. And there's no right or wrong answer, right? It's not about like getting all the people to be your clients or your learners. Yeah. It's about matching with the ones that are a good fit for what you have to offer.
Yeah. And I feel like it comes back to this whole thing. What I teach around like identity-based goals is like, you're working on really honing in on this identity that you are a course designer. Like you are a course creator, whatever feels like the right words to you. And we keep coming back to this idea of building that confidence and how important that is. And I kind of see it as like, as you create like the smaller thing and you start to bring income from that, it's like, I am someone who is a course creator who gets paid for these courses. It's like, you start to own that identity and then you want to be more and more of that person. And I feel like, because if you start off with the bigger thing, it's like, it can feel too overwhelming. You haven't maybe developed those habits of someone maybe at that level that you want to be at yet. You don't have that confidence, all that kind of thing. And then you can feel like really defeated and get down. I kind of even see it as like, you know, you want to run a marathon. And let's say you haven't even ran a 5K. And you're like, I want to run a marathon. So you start training for the marathon and you get hurt and all these things and you're defeated and you don't make it to the marathon day, let's just say. So then you may never want to jump into running again, you know, after that situation. But if you start with like owning the identity, make your goal be about, I am a runner. Mm-hmm. And then we start with like, okay, what does a runner do every day? A runner goes out and runs, you know, or a few times a week or whatever they do. And then yes. maybe you start with a 5K. And you build yourself up, right? It's like, it's really looking at it in that way about the real goal is about who you're becoming, not the actual end. Don't get attached to results. Be attached more to like, who am I becoming in the process?
Yes, Angela. And I want to acknowledge two things that are so important about what you're saying that I am seeing is really prevalent in the entrepreneurial world right now. And one is just this phenomenon that I continue to talk to people who feel a level of entrepreneurial burnout. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to them about like how to heal your entrepreneurial spirit after you went out. So it's the same to me. It's like going out and you're like, oh, I'm going to train for this marathon. Then you hurt yourself. Then you think to yourself, I'll never be a runner, but you still have invested. You know, what happens is people go out, they see a big plan to become an entrepreneur, an online success story, and they buy a $10,000 program that will help them create a course that's going to bring in six figures. And they do all the steps exactly as they're supposed to do the steps. And then, and they work hard and they lose sight of everything else and they're going. But that motor, I feel like that motor gets cranked up to where you're no longer listening to like, wait, is this the right path for me?
Yeah.
Wait, is this the thing that I'm interested in? And you're just going for the goal because you've invested so much in the result. And then you get to the result and you look up and you're like, I'm on this endless online business wheel. And I don't even know how I got here. Now I'm in debt. Now I'm burned out. Oh my God. And this isn't even what I wanted anymore.
And that's why, like, what I teach a lot around is, you know, getting clear on the vision first. Like, who are you? Like, who do you want to be? What do you want to create? What are your gifts? And really hone in on that first. Like, that really is the destination. It's like, how do you want to feel? How do you want to contribute to the world? What am I good at? How can I honor my values? All of those kinds of questions. Do that first, get clear on that first, like put that destination in the GPS, and then we can figure out the routes that help get you there.
Yes, because it is not a one size fits all journey. And I think that we have been, if you look up and look around and just do some quick Google searches, even on creating courses, it's going to tell you like, yes, do this, buy an expensive learning management system, you know, create your 7-day email sales pitch, and then have your evergreen webinar. Well, that will work for some people. And for some people, that's going to feel really phony and not like who they are. And if it doesn't feel aligned for you, what I've seen over and over again is it's not going to work for you. But there are so many other different options. We just happen to have a society today that in the world of creating online courses, I think the loudest experts in the market are saying, there's one way, do it this way. Here's your six-figure course. And what I am inviting people to is something different, which is, hey, I think probably deep down, you know, you have something you want to share with the world. It doesn't have to be expensive or scary. We can try this whole thing out in 28 days, you know, and you probably have enough people to invite into your first program, like in the contacts on your phone. So
I mean, even just like, I think back to years ago when I used to teach vision board workshops, I still do, but they're like on steroids compared to what it used to be because I've learned so much since then and it's evolved, but it came from doing. But like, I remember my first workshop, it was just a few friends. They weren't even my friends. They were my sister's friends who showed up and like, I just taught them how to do the vision board. Like, I mean, that's where it started. And then it evolved to bigger groups, you know, corporations asking me to come teach the workshops, but it started with me kind of testing things out and it's still evolving now. But anyways, I just love this stuff so much. And I think about like all the things that people could teach. Like, I just know there's so many people listening right now that are so gifted in just such different ways. And it's like, there's some people that I keep bothering about, like, can you just make a course on that? Like, you know, my friends that know how to clean out their fridge really well and like where to place things, you know what I'm talking about, but like place, you know, the right vegetables in certain places and all these things, like, okay, just teach me like a quick course on that. Like, you know, you could start there instead of it having to be about doing your entire house. You could start with one small part of it. I mean, just think about how that can apply to your situation. And if you're listening now, if you've been getting some ideas, can you start small? And like said, you know, can you tell us again, Jeannie, the three questions that you always want to ask yourself?
Okay. How could it be simpler? How could it be more me? And how can it be more fun? I love the example of the organizing the things in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the myths that people have is they think to themselves, well, people already watch the home edit. So why do I need to create a course about how to organize things in the refrigerator? And so I just want to point out that people tend to want to learn from others who are only three steps ahead of them.
Yes, that is so true. And even for me, like, that's how I feel. Like, I mean, I think in courses I've invested in, it's not like I go always want to learn from like the best of the best of the best. It's like, because I almost feel like sometimes they can be so removed from where I'm at. They forget what it was like to be the beginner.
Yes.
So even when you're thinking about the courses that you want to create, think about just you, like a few steps back or one baton behind or wherever it is, we all can teach something.
Yes. And ask yourself, like, what do I wish I hadn't had to learn the hard way?
Yes. There's so many things I can think of, so many courses I want to create. So when it comes to creation, I know that a lot of us start things and we don't finish things. So what are your recommendations around that?
Oh, this is where the process I teach is so helpful. So basically, you fill your pilot before you finish your content. And you make sure that a handful of people have paid to take your course and they're waiting on you.
They
want you to show up. They know that they're showing up live on Wednesday morning or that your lesson is going to launch on Thursday. And this is one of the reasons why it's super important to make sure that that price point, right, is at a place where you want your price point for that initial pilot program to be enough money that you feel valued.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective of the outcome that you've promised, right? But also with some grace to understand that you're experimenting right now, right? So you want people who come out of your pilot to feel like, wow, that was a great outcome that I got for the investment that I made. I loved being a part of this learning process with Angela, right? And mm-hmm. So they're feeling good and wonderful about all the parts and pieces of it. So I just want to clarify that, because it's not like, oh, let me build my program and I'm going to charge a premium high price and I'm going to figure it out on the fly while I'm teaching this class. It's about creating that perfect, like, balanced ecosystem where you've got people who are happy to be learning from you and it's worth the investment. And they understand that there's going to be a little bit of like ebb and flow going on here, that you're in the pilot phase, but also you've got them waiting on you. You're already prosperous because you've taken in the registration fees and you're getting constant feedback. Mm-hmm. So you're able to adapt and adjust. And so you're fueling that sense of like, wow, I'm really helping people.
Yeah. So again, it's like you're building that confidence again, and you're also not setting expectations that don't serve you. It's like, we're clear, like, hey, this is a pilot program, or you get this at the founder's rate. I'm learning. It's a we-win scenario, because you're also getting, you know, this material and you get to share your wisdom with me too. And people love that. That's what I have found. So
yes.
The other thing, oh, the pull to action. So I remember when I was in coaching school, and I was in back in the day too, when we didn't have Zoom. So it was like teleconferences were the thing.
Yes.
But so back then, I remember that my mentor coach had told me, what is your pull to action? He'd always ask me that. Like, when you are, you know, he's like, the fridge, for example, is being empty, is your pull to action to go to the grocery store that you need to go? What are you going to make as your pull to action so you finish the thing? And that's always like stood with me, because I know even before I launched the podcast, I set, and if you guys remember, like if you listened back then, I set a launch party date and it was happening. The celebration of it was then, because it was going to kick my butt into gear to make sure my podcast episodes, the few that need to be done, all the stuff was done, because I knew that people were depending on me showing up. Or I yes. already announced it. That was my pull to action. So it's almost like when you're designing this course too, you can already start to think about what would be your pull to action, who you're going to tell, what are you going to set up to make sure that you finish this thing? Because I have found with my clients and a lot of us that we tend to show up for other people like more like than we do ourselves. Like in some ways, you know, I would like to change that, but we have a habit of doing the things that we say we're going to do to other people. And then kind of, so it's just playing on that. You kind of know yourself. You're more likely to do it if you told someone else that you are, then you're going to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where, you know, I love that concept of pull to action, because that's exactly what we're setting up. And I will tell you, every single course creator that I've worked with or that is in my realm or has purchased books or programs, every single person who has finished their course is profitable. So that's the key, right? The key is the finish. And you can, I don't want to say automate the finish, but I've never known anybody who has learners waiting on them and they just don't show up and finish their course. Do you know what I'm saying? You're going to show up.
Go back to like running, the race. Like if you know people are waiting for you at the end and they're cheering you on, I guarantee you're going to do whatever you can to finish that race. I mean, just playing on like us being humans, not even just the fact that we tend to keep our promises to other people, but the fact that we, when it comes to our brain, we are very tribal. And when we get those other people on board, we don't want to disappoint our tribe. It's also a primal thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm wondering, Angela, have you read a book called The War of Art?
Oh my gosh. Yes. One of my favorite books.
Love that book. And I just think about it like this. It's like that resistance, right? That's sitting right there beside you when you're doing the work of your life, the important work. And that resistance is sitting right there beside you while you're in your office, you know, thinking about your course and working on it. And it's that little voice inside your head that's going like, nobody really wants this, you know, nobody needs this course. Mm-hmm. And you're wasting your time. Who do you think you are? You don't know enough to teach. But when you actually step into that classroom, so to speak, and you start sharing, there's not room for that resistance anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just melts it away. And the thing is that the longer that you sit, just you and your resistance working on your course, the harder and harder it's going to be to get out there and just make that choice to do it anyway. And for me, it's not always helpful for people, but for me, it's always to look at like, well, what's the worst case scenario? Do you know, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit back and just not go after my dreams because there could be one person in my class who doesn't get it or doesn't get enough? And I always think to myself, well, I'm happy to work with that person outside of class if they don't get it. You know, there's really no worst case scenario.
Exactly.
Only worst case scenario is not expressing your zone of genius.
So where can we find and follow your work?
Oh, well, I was just thinking a few minutes ago, I was like, oh, I wonder what courses the people listening to this podcast are going to be creating. Like, I would love to see I almost wish we were on a Zoom call right now.
I know,
where they could just type it in the chat and let us know, like, what are you building? What are you creating? So please, please let me know if you have questions or if you've been inspired. So my website is jeannysullivan.com and, you can drop me an email at hi@jeannysullivan.com. And on my website, you'll be able to check out, there's a link for my book that's available on Amazon if anybody's interested.
All right, guys. So if you made it this far in this episode, then I highly recommend getting Jeannie's book because it sparked your interest and it's so worth the investment. It's super cheap. You can get it on her site or on Amazon. I'll leave her information in the description of this podcast episode. Again, you can always find the information on my website, intentionalmindpodcast.com. All right, sit with your ideas. Take some time to sit with your ideas, jot them down, and then figure out what would be the next step for you. And reach out to Jeannie and tell her thank you if you got a lot from this. I know it took a lot of her time. This was a longer episode than what we're used to here on the show. But I really feel like some of you, it really got you thinking. And that was my intention, is to open you up to some more opportunities for you. All right. If you haven't left us a review, please do so. Thank you so much for being here. Have an awesome week. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.